You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today we're going to talk about something a little bit different with another member of the team who's making his podcast debut, Tobin Gorey. Good to have you on today.
Thanks, Belinda. Good to be here.
It is. Now, Tobin, you are our resident agri strategist. And I guess regular listeners of the podcast have really heard us focus very much on how COVID-19 has impacted the global and the Australian economy, but it's also impacted your space quite profoundly. So what we're going to do in this podcast is to walk through some of the big pivots that have taken place in the agricultural space and how that's impacting on particular commodities. So one of the things that you've really started to talk about is how households and probably businesses as well are consuming food in a very different way than they were before the pandemic. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that's quite right, Belinda. I think generally, we get macroeconomic volatility. Food is less affected by it because it's much more of a necessity. So in most relatively rich countries, the amount of food doesn't vary all that much. And that's still the case here as well, but the massive change there has been is that people, going to work every day, often buy food when they're out, and often they go out to eat food as well. Now, with the lockdowns and even the restricted reopenings that have happened since then, that means they've ended up eating a lot more food at home. What we've discovered is that people eat quite different food at home.
I didn't realise sugar was social.
Yeah, that's right. it's a very interesting point. Is that I think the initial guess with people was that we'd be at home, we'd be having snacking on chocolate bars and watching a lot of Netflix and stuff like that. I think people are watching a lot of Netflix, but the kind of the message about sugar is that in the background there has been that it's something you should avoid eating a lot of, and perhaps carbohydrates in general, but sugar as well, and people have taken that to heart. So it seems that, it's like a treat food now. So you eat it when you're out. If you go out for dinner or you have lunch somewhere or something like that, you perhaps eat differently to what you would at home. But when you're at home, the selection of the food is obviously quite health conscious. But it's also different in the sense that when you go out, what you're effectively doing there is, obviously a restaurant or a cafe or something like that offers you, ambience, a place to be and so on, but you're also effectively hiring the skills of the chef because they know how to make food that you probably can't at home, or at least you can't do as well as they do. And so that's the other element of difference there is that, we saw at the beginning of the lockdowns, apart from the toilet paper mania, obviously, there was also, the supermarket shelves were denuded of pasta as well. And things like that. So people are making simpler food than they would buy normally from different food service places.
Now, we've also spent a lot of time on these podcasts talking about the impact of border closures, so both international borders and also state borders here in Australia, but it's also having a profound impact on labour supply in the agricultural space. What is the impact of that? And, can you point to any examples in particular that has seen the agricultural space really be impacted by that?
There's a lot of seasonal jobs in agriculture, whether that's shearing or picking fruit or harvesting and so on. So that's an important part of agriculture. Now, there are many facets in which this has been affected. The international one has been affected because backpackers have been a key source of labour supply for a lot of that seasonal work, particularly the fruit picking and things like that, and seasonal things in viticulture as well. Now, there are still some backpackers who have basically been marooned here since the start of this, but they're also, because we've really got no tourists coming through at all, because international borders are closed, that's not being replenished. So a lot of people are quite worried about, they're working hard on finding other ways to get to that. There's one particular example, just the extent people are going to is up in the Northern Territory, the Griffin mango growers up there. They're soon due to pick their mangoes this season. They've actually flown in 160 people from Vanuatu. And that 160 people are going into a mandatory fortnight in quarantine, and then they're going to go out and work through the harvest there up in the territory. So that's the kind of pressure there is there. It's a challenge. Most of this challenge will be overcome, but people will work out ways to do it. But it's just it's forcing people to rethink how they do these things.
Yeah, and then there's obviously the local part with farms crossing state borders as well, which we understand is a big pressure point. Now, I do want to talk about supply chain risks. Now, I guess when we think about COVID-19, we think outdoor spaces are obviously safer than indoor spaces, and agriculture in the initial stages is outdoor and can be regarded as probably a little bit safer in terms of potential outbreaks. But we've actually seen more downstream food manufacturing be impacted. What has been happening there?
Yeah, there's a lot of people involved sort of behind the farm gate, but it's broad, but it narrows rapidly when it gets to the processing and aggregation stage of it. So we haven't really had too many problems in broadly speaking, but one that has been a particular problem is in abattoirs. Because they're indoors, they're quite cold, and the people in there, working pretty close proximity to one another. So that there's been outbreaks of that. It's happened here in Australia. There's been several instances of it here in Australia. It hasn't affected our food supply too badly so far, but it remains at risk. It has been particularly bad in the US, where really serious disruption to both pork and beef supply. In the beef case, what that's done is that they're a long way behind in terms of processing rates there. So, and this kind of creates a supply overhang that'll last into next year. So these things can have quite substantial consequences. Obviously, it's really bad for the people who contract COVID-19 and work in these places. So it's bad for those businesses, but it can affect us all on a very, very large scale. Now, people are trying to get better at that. There's some of the technological or engineering solutions to making workplaces safer. Some of those are going to come out of the abattoirs because they have a high need to do it. So there's an example now of JBS, which is a huge globe-spanning meat processor, is investigating a few technologies, including using ultraviolet light in air conditioning systems to kill the virus and so on, and a few other bugs besides that as well. So it's a high need area. They're dealing with it, but we make it a more helpful general solution out of that as well.
Yeah, the innovation around this is quite amazing. I guess when we start to think about the impact of COVID-19, we think about how, as you say, people's consumption of food has changed. It's not like that lost demand of food can be caught up at a later date. We can't all of a sudden not going to eat twice as much sugar by socialising when we eventually can. A lot of that is lost. Is that impacting on markets in particular? Is it impacting on demand for these commodities and how else they could be used, particularly in terms of energy consumption? I'm just thinking about sugar and ethanol here. Are we seeing any impact on those sorts of markets?
There's been very big impacts through, because the sugar thing we've already mentioned, the consumption side, a bit of the same thing's happened in dairy. Don't see the consumers much when we're making more food for ourselves at home. So there's lost a bit of demand there. There's the EU has effectively bought a lot of milk, not directly as milk, but sort of cheese and butter and skim milk powder. It's got stored away. So it's kind of delayed the problem, but it's sort of overhanging the market and it'll come on eventually. On the energy part you mentioned, it's that because fuel consumption or transport fuel consumption it all but collapsed around when the lockdowns were around. Now, that meant that in the US they didn't use as much corn to make ethanol, and it means in Brazil they haven't used as much ethanol either. So that means that more of the sugar cane they've got there has been turned into sugar. Now, in both cases, the initial impact of that was to see the price drop quite substantially, and that's had an impact. So sugar in some ways has suffered a triple whammy out of this. Mm. Consumption was trending down anyway for health reasons. That's been accelerated by the pivot to home, and also that offtake from energy of the supply was also diminished sharply as well.
It's amazing the knock-on effect that the pandemic has had on particular markets, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. I think that's because there's all that COVID-19 stuff there as well. But in the background, it's not the only thing that's going on.
No.
we've got deep into season 2020 now. So, and so we're the thinking as we wrote this was that we've got to somehow think, okay, well, what the other stuff going on, you know, amplifies what's going on from the pandemic, and what other stuff offsets it.
And we can't talk about agriculture without talking about the weather.
No.
So what is, are there any major driving forces weather-wise globally that's impacting on any particular crops? I think you talked in there about wheat in particular. What is happening in terms of that market and the weather in general? I guess
weather can just generate such huge supply swings that it's the kind of thing that can upset something as big as COVID-19. But it has, we've had some bad weather here and there this year, like European wheat crops are smaller than they were, would have been otherwise. There's a few crop losses here and there, but they haven't been huge. We've probably lost a bit of wheat in Argentina as well, because it's very dry down there. But that's going to be harvest, about the same time ours is. It hasn't been enough weather yet to cut production up to really create more than a ripple on prices. But we've still got a fair bit of the season to go. I mean, our crops here are still going to get, September now, there's not too many more things that can go wrong, but fingers crossed we'll get through that. But there's also still South American summer crops, and that's corn and soybeans, which are just critical to essentially to feed supply, to supply us all with protein. Mm. They're very much they're not even in the ground yet, so they're completely at risk. And the other thing is very substantial chunks of Argentina and Brazil, where these crops will be planted, is very dry right now, and it needs to start raining soon for those to get a kickoff. So, in summary, the weather hasn't been difficult here and there, but not a large enough scale to cause a problem. But there's still, the second half of this 2020 season to go in a global sense to get through, and there's some risk there in the background already. Probably the chief one that's been of interest of late, though, is China's corn regions up there, sort of the northeast, have basically been deluged by three times, deluged by rain. Yeah, so there's three of them in less than a fortnight, which is just, highly unusual, obviously.
Yeah.
And so we've got some issues there.
Right. Now, that actually brings me into kind of the last thematic I wanted to talk about, and that is really China Australia trade tensions. This follows very closely on China-US trade tensions that we saw over 2019 and early 2020. We know there has been some growing issues with China, particularly around and really focus on the agricultural space, wine, beef, barley. What's kind of the thinking there? And this also comes on the back of some issues with China and the US that really impact on soybeans as well.
Different issues have their own. Now, you see them in isolation as being just the issues about. So the one with barley was apparently that led to the tariffs earlier was that we were dumping barley there, which that's you can argue about whether that's the case or not. The same with CBH opening WA, the big bulk handle of grain over there. Got some couple of cargoes rejected because there were some pests or in this case weeds in the thing. In those cargoes, which they denied. And the wine inquiry about dumping as well, the earlier sort of banning of a couple of abattoirs up in Queensland. You can look at them on the merits of the issue, but it's pretty clear that there's a pattern here of these things, and these things result from that souring of relations between China and Australia. It just brings before that, the tension is there, that, and it was probably going to be a problem at some point. Now, over the last sort of 20, 30 years, Australia has embedded itself economically in Asia, particularly with China being so large. But we're still very much politically a Western nation now. It's not for me to trade off those two issues. That's for the people we elect and others to debate about. But there is that tension there. And I think there is going to be more debate about how we manage that tension going forward.
Yeah, it looks like it won't be an issue that goes away anytime soon and can have a big impact on certain markets. Tobin, it was great to have a talk about something different today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me along. It was great to talk to you.
Now, you can find Tobin Gorey's quarterly agriculture update on combankresearch.com.au, and that was published on the 9th of September.